Nation, hello and welcome to Cowboy Zone. I am Ashley Baker alongside my co-host, Josh Vincent. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing good, Ashley. I'm doing good. I'm freezing,
man.
But I'm doing good. How you doing?
Josh, it is so cold. You know, I'm here in the nation's capital, and the wind is just quite disrespectful. I don't like it, but I feel for you because you are in Chicago, sir.
Ooh, yeah, it's chilly by this lake, man. I'm just glad it's not snowing. It's snowing on the other side of the lake, but woo. Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, the northern part is definitely getting snow. Man, how do you feel on the ninth straight Victory Monday?
I mean, it is amazing. If you are a part of Cowboys Nation, for me personally, I am very thrilled, very excited. If the audience do not know, Ash and I will be live in Dallas, Texas, Thursday,
yep,
when they host the Washington Redskins. So for sure, we are very excited. What more can I say? I mean, wow, Dak Prescott continues to amaze us.
He's great. Let's get into it. Let's go ahead and get into it, Josh. Dallas wins a great game against the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, the number one rushing offense against the number one rushing defense, and Dallas held on to get that win in Dallas. Takeaways from the game, what did you see? What did you like? What did you love? What did you hate?
I hated the fact that my boy Ezekiel Elliott did not get over more than 100 rushing yards. He's kind of been not making that 100-yard mark for the past couple of games. So that is something later on in the show we're going to kind of definitely talk about. But what I definitely loved about the game, Dak did not start off very well. I think he started off 4 for 10, if I'm not mistaken. But in the second half, he completed 14 of 15 of his passes. He finished the night completing 27 of 36 for 301 yards for 3 touchdowns and absolutely no interceptions. So, again, and it's up now on our site, Fox Sports 1320. The Cowboys just continue to leave us in amazement. It's like every week, Ash, and you know, every week everybody always said, hey, what are the Cowboys going to do against the Packers? What are they going to do against this team? What are they going to do against that team? They're already saying about Washington, right? What they're going to do against the Redskins, you know? And
oh,
it's
man.
Just like every time they ask those questions, it seems like Dak Prescott just, him, the offensive line, Ezekiel Elliott, he's just so comfortable. And, you know, this game came off a very emotional week, right? You know, you had Dez Bryant lose his father, and they just did the burial service a couple of days ago. And then Tony Romo, towards the end part of last week, gave his very emotional speech, basically a concession speech, if you will, passing over the team to Dak Prescott. So this was a high emotional game, right? You know, and then you're playing against the number one ranked defense. But yet again, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, they just continue to leave us all in amazement. And that's what I'm most excited about for this team. What were some of your takeaways? What did you see?
Well, excuse me. I saw a Ravens defense that definitely put their mark on the first quarter and a half of the game. And they definitely did what they set out to do, which was try to neutralize or contain the running game. And they did. Like you said, you know, they kept Zeke at 97 yards on the ground, forcing Dak to make his presence known through the air. And he did that effortlessly. Poised, I mean, that's just the number one word. When you look that up in the dictionary, I'm pretty sure there's an updated version with his picture next to it. The guy just keeps his cool. Like you said, I mean, you know, he was a little rattled. That type of defense is going to rattle you initially.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And he has just shown that week after week. Now, I've been hearing a lot of talk that we haven't played, you know, no formidable defenses and no, you know, these soft and weak teams. And Dallas is about to go into this stretch where, you know, they're going to have some really tough teams. So it is going to be about them being resilient and, you know, playing with emotion and playing with toughness. But, I mean, that's just something you can't teach. And that's something that, you know, already he has. That's just part of his DNA, man. It's obvious. He's never flustered. He's poised. He's composed. it's really, really, you know, just an amazing thing to see, again, a rookie doing it. And, you know, something we touched on last week, Dallas did minimize those penalties. I believe they had like five on the day for 45 yards. That number may have changed, but I believe that that's what it was. And, you mm-hmm. know, Baltimore had a lot of penalties. So that's one thing that they definitely got in check, because you cannot, again, make this playoff push, going deep into the playoff, making mistakes and causing penalties and giving your opponents extra yardage or extra time to be on the field because of, you know, penalties you may have caused. So they definitely showed up defensively. I got to tip my hat off to J.J. Wilcox and Mr. Byron Jones. They balled out yesterday. I mean, they kept the Ravens under 20 points. And I think that that's their season average anyway. I don't think that we're allowing many teams to go over that number. I mean, I know Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. That's just what they're going to do, you know, in the air. They're going to do that. But, you know, Byron Jones had 8 tackles yesterday. J.J. Wilcox had 7 tackles. You know, they talking trash. You know, Steve Smith. I mean, the great Steve Smith. I love me some Steve Smith. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't mind the trash talking. He has earned it. He has earned the right to talk trash if he want to talk trash. And he was doing it to them boys out there, but they, you know, they kept their head up and, you know, they balled out. So I thought it was pretty good, cool. That's just the takeaways that I have from the game. They did what they were supposed to do, and they just wore down. That offensive line wore down the defense when it all boils down to it. They went away from the run, did what they had to do in the air, and then they came back to the run. So they never abandoned it. That's just what they didn't do that. That's what they are. That's what this team is. They know their identity. We're going to run first. We're a running team. I mean, you got to run when you got Zeke back there. So you touched on earlier the emotional speech by Tony earlier this week. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was kind of up in the air about that. I deemed it unnecessary. I was scared to death that it would create a negative effect throughout the week and cause a little distraction from the game or the task ahead. I'm going to ask you, do you think that Tony's speech made the team stronger, or do you deem the speech unnecessary? Like, it really wouldn't have mattered. They would have came out and kind of took care of business with or without the speech. Like, what do you?
You know, it's very interesting because, you know, I was talking to some people, you know, all throughout Dallas area. You know, I was talking to just a couple of people and just kind of picking their brains on it. I got a guy out there in Garland and DeSoto, and we were just out there talking. And a lot of people, they had mixed feelings about it, right? So this is kind of how it broke down. You had some people feel as though, like, Tony Romo came out there with this woe is me type speech.
Oh, absolutely.
Basically kind of having this self-pity, like, oh, wow, you know, I got injured and this young guy took my spot and now I really want to be on the field. What should I do? I'm so saddened by it. You had a lot of people take the speech like that. But then on the other hand, you had a lot of people that looked at it positive. Even John Wall, if you guys haven't seen on the Fox Sports 1340 AM speech page, he gave his take on it. And John Wall, the Washington Wizards, he was like, hey, man, that was really great. You know, it showed his character, you know, integrity, and, you know, how much of a leader he is to stand in front of the media and say, hey, you know, I have to pass over my job to Dak Prescott. So you had a lot of people looking at it from two different ways. But me personally, I looked at it this way. To answer your question, yes, I think regardless, the Dallas Cowboys would have came out against the Baltimore Ravens and they would have been dominant or definitely attempted to be dominant for sure. They end up winning the game, as everybody know. But I think the speech had to be done because of this. You had this lingering cloud over Dak Prescott, and Dak, he has swore up and down he didn't think about it, but it would be inhuman for him not to. Dak had to answer questions every night, and we were there, whether it was in Pittsburgh, whether it was in Cleveland, whether it was back home in Dallas, he had to answer those questions every night. Hey, you know, what's going on? You and Romo, you know,
yeah.
if he threw an interception or if he made a fumble or if he didn't win the game. I mean, we have yet to see him lose since week one versus the Giants, but if he was to, if he, they would have lost to Pittsburgh or if they would have lost to Baltimore, if Tony never gave that speech, the question would have then came to Dak, like, hey, you know, are you concerned about your job, this, that, and the
other?
Yeah,
but to be honest with you, Josh, is the question, is that still there? I mean, let's just say, God forbid, Dak drops the next three games. Do you think that Jerry would put him in? Do you think that Jerry would put Tony in? Tony is the backup, you know what I'm saying? It's a playoff push, and this is, we, everybody wants this to be the year, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Jerry being such a fanboy of Tony, I mean, we're just going to call a spade, y'all know me, I'm going to keep
it 100. Right.
With him being such a daggone fanboy of Tony, I mean, do you, to me, that did absolutely nothing. That speech did absolutely nothing. That's why I deemed it unnecessary. And it's because of this. Jerry Jones, and to be honest with you, we're going to just, again, call a spade a spade. Jerry's not running things in that front office like we all think he is anymore. That's just what it is. Stephen Jones is running things now. You know, you can just tell by the way they're doing things and how they're methodically making decisions and stuff. Jerry acts on emotions instead of business. This is just what this man does. We've watched him do it decade after decade. It's all about emotions for him. He's a hell of a businessman when it comes to putting them dollars in his pockets and bringing shows and all that stuff to Jerry World. But when it comes to those players and that team, honey, he is emotional, and he just does everything emotionally instead of thinking business-wise. So I think that Stephen Jones is making a lot of, you know, calls in that regard. But if Dak slips up and has a couple of bad games, especially this late in the season, I mean, we really know December is an important month for football.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, we're 9-1 now, but God forbid, you know, we could lose out and end up 10-6. God forbid that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you don't want that to happen, but I'm just saying, you know, so if he drops three games, let's just say he drops three games, that drops three games, do you honestly think that he's going to keep Tony on the bench?
Well, no, I don't. But I think one thing that it did do, though, I think Tony giving that type of a confession speech actually kind of made everybody gravitate towards Dak as this is our leader, right? I read a story yesterday where Dak has not even been through rookie hazing. You know how you hear about rookies got to go and pick up people breakfast early in the morning and all that kind of stuff. Dak has not done any of that because when he came in out the gate as the quarterback, right? You know, Tony Romo got injured during the preseason. He did not get injured during the regular season. So week one, it was Dak starting, as you already know. So Dak started to just his whole level, his level-mindedness, how he is so methodical and all of that, as you just mentioned, Dak actually gained respect, him and Ezekiel, if you want to put both of them in there. The Dak and Ezekiel both get respect from everybody in that locker room. So even Dez Bryant, well, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think Dez was, you know, getting all upset or whatever, and Dak told him, yo, chill out. Like, we got this. I need you to chill out. We asked him after the game, I think that was in Cleveland, hey, you know, what made you do that? Being a rookie, you stepping up to Dez Bryant telling him to, you know, stop barking, calm down. And he like, yo, that's part of my job. So
right.
I think with Tony Romo giving the speech that he gave, I think that definitely solidified Dak as not only the starting quarterback, but also the leader of this franchise. Now, granted, you're right. If Dak Prescott come out here and blow this Thanksgiving game, and he go up to Minneapolis the following Thursday and blow that game at US Bank Stadium, and he go, I think they play back at home, or they go to Philadelphia. I know they got some more road games. If he go blow three games, then you're right. I mean, in the interest of winning, if you got the Tony Romo chilling on the bench, then, of course, you got to go ahead and do what you're doing. But I think with that being said, you know, I just don't think that Dak, you know, I think that really did just help out everybody understanding, okay, Tony Romo is here, but he's kind of off on the side.
It was unnecessary because it was almost like he was given – it was – and listen, this is what we – listen, I'm going to call it what it is. This cowboy gun. We're just going to call it what it is. It was unnecessary, and it's almost like he was giving Dak permission to do what he was going to do anyway. Tony knew he wasn't getting his starting job back. That's just – so what did you get up there for and say, I'm going to go ahead and hand over, he's earned this. We didn't – nobody really needed your approval, Tony. the wins are enough. The 8 wins at that point were enough to be for everybody to realize, okay, this boy is not going on a bench. You know, he's not. You're staying. You're going to be riding pine, Tony. It is what it is. You know what I mean? So I just felt like it was deemed unnecessary. He read a letter, a speech, and I just felt like that should have probably came from the heart. And you know, I was just really apprehensive all week because as everybody knows, again, if you didn't catch the first show, I am a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, have been since I can remember, and I usually have no problem with Dallas Cowboy coverage. You can talk about Dallas all day, every day on every media show outlet, and I will listen over and over and over again. But the way that the Cowboys were covered this week, I just didn't like that type of attention. And you know, the pregame, before the game, they had Dak and Tony both throwing balls, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just hoping that this type of pressure doesn't really rattle him. You know, that was my biggest concern, is I just want Dak to stay focused and not think, goodness, Tony just kind of handed this thing over to me, and here I am, 23 years old, and I got all of this weight, and now I have to perform. I don't know. I don't know what I thought it may have been, but again, mm-hmm. they came out and they performed, and he delivered. Dak delivered. That's fine.
And let me add to your point though, right quick. You know, the one thing I do like about that, let's just hypothetically say all of that did transpire, right? Let's say that a lot of that pressure did weigh on Prescott's shoulder. You know, the cool thing about that, or the amazing thing about that, and also we, you know, got a story up about this, about Dak Prescott and who he is and how he's such a role model. He used all of that pressure, and look at how he performed last night. You're right. He started off kind of shaky, but then look at how he ended up finishing that game. So I'll say this, hey, if Tony Romo had the intent to go out there and try to, you know, throw shade towards Dak, but in a, like, I'm trying to be polite type way, like kind of like, you know, backwards compliment almost, like, oh, this is your team, even though I'm healthy. If that's what he was doing in that speech, well, you know, hey, he's eating grass right now, because Dak, like you said, you know, they had both of them warming up and all of that, but then Dak again threw for over 300 and something yards on the number one ranked defense. So he definitely quiet any more of those questions. Again, if Dak Prescott don't want this starting job, hey, just throw the ball to the other team for the next three games, and he'll have it. So
he'll have it. And I also heard reports that, you know, Tony had asked, you know, can I compete for this job? And I believe it was Stephen Jones. That's what I mean by him being the guy behind, you know, the curtain now, not so much as Jerry as we all think, because Jerry is always in the cameras. You know, Stephen Jones said, you know, that's not in the best interest of the team.
And it's not. And it's not, because then you'll create a divide. Like right now, and I know, I'm sure you saw this on Twitter, the Cowboys' Twitter, they had this little commercial about breakfast and Ezekiel Elliott eating all the cereal and they throwing all the top sauce on the food.
Hilarious.
And stuff like that. Hilarious,
really,
right?
Funny.
When you're winning, you're having fun, and I think that's what it is. I understand. This is what I would say. I'll concede on this point. I understand Tony Romo's position, because as everybody mentioned, 10 years ago it was him and Bledsoe, right? So I understand Tony Romo's position. But one thing I did like, this newscaster down in Texas said this. He said, hey, back when the Cowboys went into the playoffs a few years ago with Romo, and I think they lost to the Giants or something, and he said, Tony Romo said after the game, this is, you know, if this is the worst thing that can ever happen to me, I can be okay. Well, hey, if the worst thing that can happen to Tony Romo is at, what, 34, 35 years old, you lost your job to somebody that's about 10 years younger than you, but you're about to walk away with $100+ million, you can either decide to retire and become somebody important in the front office, or you can come to Chicago, because the Bears are garbage. You can come to Chicago, please. Save this franchise. Please come to Chicago.
I don't think Jerry would set him up like that. Listen, that's absolutely fine. Again, everybody, you are tuned into Cowboy Zone with myself, Ashley Baker, and Josh Vincent. Thursday, we are live from AT&T Stadium, Cowboy Zone, myself, and again, Josh. We're the Dallas Cowboys host, the rival Washington Redskins. Man, the Skins come in on this game 6-3-1. And they had quite a game last night against the Packers. I'm going to throw shade right here and there. Let's not act like the daggone Green Bay Packers had this top formidable defense. I digress. The Redskins did put up 42 points. And
I mean,
since I'm in the nation's capital, before you even say anything, Josh, let me just say this.
What's that?
I'm in the nation's capital, okay? I feel the heartbeat of this city. This is a great city. I feel the heartbeat of this city. And this city is very, very sure that they are marching in to Jerry World and taking this game. They are beyond confident that they will bring Dallas's game-winning streak to a halt. Man, y'all really don't understand what I go through being in the nation's capital and being a supporter of the Dallas Cowboys. It's just crazy. The rivalry, it's all in fun and games. It's all, you know, it's all in good fun and everything. But it's a huge division game.
It is. I was about to say, you be careful out there. You walk around with your Prescott jersey trying to get to the airport. Oh, you might not make it. So, y'all, if we get down to Dallas, then I'd be like, well, Ashley couldn't make it to Dallas tonight. Y'all
I will be there. Listen, ain't nobody stopping that. I will be there, folks. But, again, huge game coming up on Sunday. Tell me, Josh, what do you think needs to happen for Dallas to come away with the W?
Don't let this game be bigger than what it needs to be. That's what I would say. If I could talk to Dak, if I could talk to Ezekiel, if I could talk to that offensive line, if I could talk to that defense, because that's where I'm concerned. If I could talk to that defense, I would say do not let the game be bigger than what it is. Actually, you hit the nail on the head. Not only is that pulse felt throughout the D.C., the DMV, the Metroplex, whatever they want to call it, the Beltway, not only is it felt there, but it's definitely going to be felt down in Washington, down in Dallas. Excuse me. Don't you know? Be surprised when you're flying out to Dallas. You are not on a plane with a team with a plane full of Redskins fans. Like, do not be surprised if that is what happens.
They're
going to be there full force. And you're right. They were chanting as they beat let's throw some shade at the Packers, a Green Bay team that's not our father's Green Bay team, not, you know, the Green Bay team we once knew. They did blow them out there in Washington, and everybody was chanting, we want Dallas, we want Dallas. But I would tell the Cowboys, hey, I need you guys to settle down and do what you guys have been doing. If they do what they have been doing, I don't think they're going to have a problem winning this game. The problem that I am a little concerned about is, as we mentioned this earlier in the show, Ezekiel Elliott did not have over 100 yards. And, yes, Dak Prescott has shown us that he can go in the air, right, because that's one of the biggest differences between him and Romo. You and I mentioned that on the first show, like when you're going to need possibly Romo sometimes in the playoffs to make those down-the-field type passes, 50, 60-yard possible type passes, 45-type-yard passes. So Dak hasn't really shown us that too much this season, because he's kind of had Ezekiel, where Ezekiel can run you 20, 40, 30 yards, you know, here and there. So I'm a little concerned about that, because if somehow the Redskins defense, which again would be very surprising, if they could somehow contain the running game, and now Dak is finding himself on those third down situations, though his average is pretty good on third down, you know, just the magnitude of the game and being Thanksgiving, that could show some of his rookiness. Some of that young birth of him being a rookie could show. So, because you already know the Redskins are kind of going to come out there overexcited. They're going to be, you know, hitting the people with the big kick stick. Like, they're going to be ready. So, again, if Dallas, and this is a good thing about having a quarterback like Dak Prescott, if Dak Prescott could tell his team, like, hey, calm down, guys. Tap into his inner Aaron Rodgers and say, relax. And just play like they've been playing, I don't see Dallas having a problem. But that is the only thing that I am just slightly concerned about, if y'all didn't hear me, was the defense. I am a little concerned about the defense of the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm a little concerned about the running game of the Dallas Cowboys. Those are two areas that can make or break this game. But honestly, I'll say this, and I'll let you talk about the game. Honestly, the only team that I can see truly beating the Dallas Cowboys is the Seattle Seahawks, and they don't play them
anytime. Those darn Seahawks. Let me tell you something. It's a division game, so it's going to be tough. I typically don't make predictions on the game. Before I even get into that, so you have Dallas winning. any type of score? What score do you think it's going to be?
I'm going Dak Prescott going to show out. I'm going 34-14. I think Dak is going to have the time of his life. I think we are going to write Dak Prescott is the greatest thing known to mankind. I think that is going to be the articles that we're going to be putting out Thursday night. I believe that Dak is going to prove to the world that he is what he is. Tony Romo backs for Chicago.
I know these teams very well. Yes. Plenty of matchups that I've seen. And it's a division game. I want to say it's going to be low scoring, but, you know, when I want to blow one way with Dallas, they come out and beat a team and make me feel like I should have, you know, blown the other way. You know, they proved me wrong. I thought they were going to, you know, do a certain thing. And, you know, they completely are rewriting what they were. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you're supposed to beat certain teams, but then we lose to those teams. That's not this Dallas Cowboys team. They're rewriting what the fan base thinks of them. I don't think they come out in this game making it bigger than what it is. I think that they understand that it's another game on the schedule. It is a more important game because, again, it is a division game. But I think that the Redskins come out a little more amped and excited, and they're gonna have to take a couple slaps around to kind of be like, all right, let's settle down. And, you know, we can't really take this offensive line for, you know, they saw the offensive line second game. And, you know, I've had a lot of people, I've been talking to a lot of people here in the nation's capital, and, you know, their sad story is, if it wasn't for Kirk Cousins throwing the interception in the end zone game two, they would have won the game. And, you know, my response to that is, should've, could've, would've. Still caught the L. And y'all have improved over 7 weeks, 7-8 weeks, as has Dallas. So I think it's going to be a great game. I don't believe it's going to be that large of a victory margin for Dallas, though. I'm going somewhere along the lines of 31-27. I think Ezekiel Elliott has a big game. Dallas will win that, in case, you know, if anybody was confused. I think Ezekiel Elliott has a great game because he's going against the number 21 ranked rushing defense. And they're going to be so focused on the run. I mean, Dallas has a lot. Now, listen, the Redskins have a lot of weapons. I myself am concerned about how the defense is going to deal with the weapons. Jordan Reed is a beast. Jameson Crowder is a beast. You still have DeSean Jackson to worry about. Robert Kelly is no slouch. He's a rookie running back in his as well. Pierre Garçon. Oh, they have a squad now. I'm not taking that from them. They have a squad.
Sure.
My thing is that Dallas is just so great with time of possession, you're not going to see much of them on the field. So when they're on there,
you're
they
right
have
about
to
that.
Score, and I kind of feel like that may put Kirk Cousins into pressure situations, and he may give you a pick or two on Thursday. He may throw up because he understands the importance of making the possession count, because you're not going to get a lot of those possessions most likely with the Dallas Cowboys. So that's going to put them in – every time they have a possession, it's going to be a bit of a pressure cooker. They're going to be in a pressure situation to put points on the board. And I think that that's where their mistakes are going to come. I think the offensive line is going to end up wearing the defensive line down. Again, they're 21st ranked when it comes to the rush against the number one rushing attack. I think that that is going to be a huge problem. Again, I'm calling – 31-27, Dallas. Dallas averages about 30 a game. They putting up about, you know, 28, 29 points a game. So
I'd like to add something to what you just kind of said, too. You know, one thing about if you just kind of take what happened with the Ravens game and then translate that moving forward to this Thursday, look at the time of possession that Dallas had over Baltimore. They had 35.39 minutes compared to 24.21 minutes. So, in other words,
60 minutes in a game, folks. If you don't know, there are 60 minutes in a game.
Right.
Dallas
so
is dominating heavily.
They had almost 36 minutes of those 60 minutes they were on the field. And then another thing, too, you mentioned this way earlier in the show. You were talking about how Dallas came down on a lot of those penalties, and they did. Look at the penalty-to-yards ratio from last Sunday or yesterday. Five penalties worth 45 yards compared to Baltimore, 12 for 136. So I say all of that to say, if Dallas continues to play the way they've been playing, they dominate that, time of possession. It's nothing that the Redskins can do. I don't care how great, Jackpot the shot Jackson is. I don't care how great. I don't care how great. Yeah, because he is just the most extra human being in the world. But don't get me wrong, I'm definitely can't wait to put my camera in his face and ask him all the questions that I want to ask. But the point that I'm making is that, I understand that they got all these weapons, Jordan Tucker and all those guys, but I think it is important, as you just mentioned, I think if Dallas just do what they have always done, and that's control the clock, it's nothing that Washington is going to do. Because the one good thing about Dallas, even if they don't go into the end zone, they got the best field goal kicker known to mankind, and that man can kick it from the 50-yard line if he has to. So even if it comes down to a situation like Pittsburgh, you remember, all they had to do was get three, but Ezekiel Elliott ran it through the middle and got a touchdown. So it's one of those things where it's just I think Dallas is going to be okay. If they come into that game thinking that this game is bigger than what it really is, and they are so caught up in all the extraness that the Redskins are going to be doing, because on the defensive side, they're going to be doing everything. They're going to be getting in Dez Bryant head. They're going to be getting in Zeke head. They're going to be getting in Dak Prescott head. If they're doing those types of things, and then Dallas is reacting to it, now they're getting, unsportsmanlike conduct type penalties and stuff like that, costing them 15-something yards. That is when Dallas is going to be off their game. And so that's why I think it's going to be interesting to see how Dak responds. Because if Dak can get his troops together for all the overhyped Washington Redskins players, then again, we're going to have to take our hats off to them as we have been doing for the past 9 weeks. It's almost getting old. I don't know who else on the team almost. It just seems like Dak is just so great. It's sad.
Right. Yeah. Again, guys, you are listening to Cowboys Zone. Key matchup, of course, on Thanksgiving Day, that we all will be looking at is Dez Bryant versus Josh Norman, the $75 million man there in Washington. We'll definitely be following the best receiver around for the day. I really can't call who's going to get the better of that. Josh is a great player. That's just what it is. I mean, he is an elite cornerback. Dez Bryant is an elite receiver. He's filling himself after those two touchdowns yesterday, those two touchdown passes. He's filling himself after feeling like he wants to make his dad proud, and all of that stuff ties into, a player's performance. With that particular matchup, that marquee matchup, I don't really expect either one to get the best out of the other. I think Dez will get a touchdown. But there are going to be times where Josh keeps him in check, and that's just what it is. It's just great going against great, and that's just what it is. They're going to be there are others that I don't believe that the Redskins' defense are going to be able to contain. Look for Cole Beasley to have a big game on Thursday.
Okay.
That's my gut feeling. You're so focused on Jason Witten. You're going to be focused on Terrence Williams. You're going to be focused on the two-headed monster in the run. Alfred Morris is probably going to have a little bit to say playing against his former team. I think Beasley will probably get the game ball, because I think that for some reason these teams, they have kept him in check a little bit. And I don't know if this is more so of Dak trying to, make sure he gets his number one receiver involved. And ever since, Dez's been back, Bees is there. Bees definitely makes his presence known, but it's not as heavy as it was when Dez was out those three games. And I think that they slip up. I think that the Reds can slip up and forget about little Measly Beasley that they like to call him. No, I think Bees is going to have a pretty big game. I am excited. Again, once again, guys, you are listening in on Cowboys Zone. Listen, the Skins won, the Giants won. The Giants kicker missed two point after attempts, which was a theme of yesterday, everybody. I know y'all seen it. Up until yesterday, and again, tonight's game is still considered this week's game. So we don't know if they're going to miss kicks tonight in the Monday night game. It's the Raiders taking on the Texans. They're in Mexico. Somebody might miss the field. There were 12 missed field goal point after attempts yesterday in the league. 12.
That's terrible.
The most has ever been. The closest was there was 11 missed back in 1966, man. So these kickers, they
I don't know. They're going to have to go on
strike. Missing some stuff, man.
I don't know.
They was missing some stuff, man. I don't know what was going on. It wasn't windy. I don't think it was windy all around the country yesterday, was it?
I don't know. You know, that cold front. You know, I mean, we were just talking about that, about how cold it was. I mean, maybe that cold front is really kicking up some wind
That's a possibility. That is a possibility.
From everywhere.
It got to be that we don't. I wanted to throw that fun fact out there because I thought that was hilarious. I mean, it was just the topic of the day. These kickers were not getting it done yesterday, and there were 12 so far this week. I want to give out my AMVP, and we actually have a special guest that's going to give out the JMVP. Josh has a twin brother, y'all. His name is James.
Yes.
And he's British, you know what I mean? But he's going to jump on the line here and, you know, tell us who his JMVP is. I'm going to give my AMVP to Dak Prescott, understanding, reading the defense so well, understanding that the run wasn't working. That team, period. I mean, even the coaching staff understood that Baltimore was going to come in there on the hunt for the run. And they made it their business to do what they had to do through the air. I mean, there were no rushing touchdowns. All three touchdowns were through the air by Dak Prescott. Three touchdowns, zero interceptions. The boy just don't like giving the ball to the other team. That's amazing. He did fumble. He fumbled a snap. He did fumble a snap, but he recovered that. But that was good. So, James, are you on the line?
Yes, Ashley, I'm right here. How are you doing this evening? It's morning. It's morning here in London almost.
Good morning. Good morning. How's your morning going?
It's okay. It's only about 2 o'clock in the morning here in East London, but I'm definitely looking forward to talking American football with you. Everyone here loves when the NFL come overseas and give us a great game over you two. So we're very excited to look at the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully one day Jerry Jones allow them to come over and play. It'll be great. Maybe next year, may I say.
Possibly. That's possible. Did you speak to your brother?
Yes, I did. So we were watching the game. I had to, you know, go to one of those downloading sites and download the game, because when the game come on, it's already sort of past my bedtime. But I got an opportunity to see the game. And you know, similar to you, I have to give my award to Dak Prescott. Dak, as you just mentioned, he was beyond amazing. 27-36 for 301 yards against the number one defense of Baltimore. And to say that he led the Dallas Cowboys to 9-1, and you know, that's also French's record. They beat the record, I believe, that happened back in the 1970 merger. Dak Prescott is the fourth rookie to throw for more than 300 yards and have three pass touchdowns and zero interceptions. And also, this is a winning streak record for the Dallas Cowboys. They have not had this many consecutive wins, I believe, since the 1960s. Do not get me wrong.
James, you are well informed.
Yes, yeah, I love the National Football League. I was trying to tell Josh that maybe one day I could come to a game and cover a game, but I don't know, we're working on that. But yeah, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and the whole team, I just really love the Dallas Cowboys. They are really great, and it's just a joy to see what's happening down there in Texas.
That is so great. Your input means so much, James. How's the weather over there?
You know, it's great. It's great, actually. I heard that over there in the States, you guys are pretty bitterly cold over there. George was showing me some of the snow flurries flying around Chicago earlier today. But here in East London, actually, the weather was pretty okay. It was about 47 degrees. We actually do degrees in Celsius, but, you know, who cares? But, yeah, the weather's pretty fine. Actually, to let you know, I'll actually be coming to Minneapolis. I'll be there. That will be my first game to watch in the States. I'll be there at the Dallas Cowboys game when they play against the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, so I'm very excited there. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited for you, and maybe you and I can. I would definitely like to meet you one day, and I thank you so much for giving us your input. Really quick, James, the Dallas Cowboys play the Washington Redskins for Thanksgiving, you know, here in the States.
Yes.
Just really quick, who do you think will win that game?
Really quickly, again, I'm definitely going for Dallas. I mean, again, not to take anything away from Washington, but Dallas just seems to be the superior team in all fronts, as you just mentioned. They have the 22nd rushing defense. So if Ezekiel Elliott can find the right hose, he should definitely go straight up the middle and around and do this thing. And then again, Dak Prescott, I'm sure, is going to be phenomenal. So, again, not to just ride on the Cowboys' wave over here in East London, but I must say it is great to wake up on the side of the bed being a Dallas Cowboys fan. Reporting here in East London, back to you guys. I appreciate you allowing me
to speak
on the show.
Thanks so much for being on. Thank you. Oh, man. Your
that
brother
awesome.
Is so
is cool.
Dope, Josh. He's really cool. I didn't know he knew. I didn't know he knew that much.
Yeah, I mean, that boy, I tell you, I sometimes get international data text messaging charges because when I need to know some quick stats, like, he was telling me, he just spits it out. Like, we were talking about the Vikings the other day, and he just was like, talking about Dante Culpepper. And I'm like, what? How do you know about Dante? He haven't played in forever. Yeah, so he knows. He knows.
He's pretty dope. Really quick, and we are wrapping up here. Big Talk. Saying that at some point this Dallas Cowboys team and these pesky Seattle Seahawks that just don't ever seem to go away will eventually collide.
They will.
Possibly in an NFC championship match.
Oof.
This is quite prematurely. I'm pretty sure we will have this conversation again later on down the road. If you could give your premature thoughts on that matchup, good grief.
Ooh,
we're going to play pretend. We're going to play
pretend.
This is what we do. Seattle, Dallas stay in the seed that they are. So that would mean that all roads go through Dallas.
All roads.
Going to Jerry World. Staying in Jerry World, Seattle going to Jerry World. Who do you think will win that game? This is just a preliminary talk, folks. But this will be a hell of a matchup.
Cowboys Nation is going to be a little upset with me when I say this, but this is why I'm so frightened by the Seattle Seahawks. When you look at the rest of the schedule that Dallas has, there's nobody defense that is as strong and superior as Seattle. You look at the quarterbacks that he's going to face. Nobody is more superior thus far than Russell Wilson. And so the question then becomes, you add the playoff dynamic, right? One win, you're in. One loss, you're out.
Yeah.
It's different, right? I mean, hey, Dallas can lose Thursday versus Washington. Who cares? They play Minneapolis the next week. If they win that game, cool. They're, 10-2, right?
Right.
It is what it is. But you lose against Seattle, but it is what it is. You're out.
Yeah.
There's no coming back next Sunday. So to wrap up real quick, I think that's where you're going to have veteranship is going to definitely play a big role. I think that's when you're going to have, you know, being able to read certain defenses, being able to read the defense, being able to see certain things. And that's one thing that you pointed out with Romo. It was a time in the game when they played Pittsburgh. Romo could see what was going on. He could say no already that the play that they were getting ready to call was not going to work out. But Dak stick with the play, and then it didn't work out. They lost 5 yards, so they lost 7 yards, so they lost the down or whatever. So I say all of that to say that is where Dak is going to have to lean on Tony and really, really, really wisen up as much as he can because, you know, I mean, look at what Seattle did.
If anybody knows about
losing
to Seattle, it's Tony Romo.
Okay.
If any, listen, catch the shade. It is what it is, folks. Y'all know that this is what it is. This
Yeah.
is what we do on Cowboys Zone. Hey, catch the shade. If anybody knows about losing to the Seattle Seahawks, it is Tony Romo. So I definitely agree that he needs to stick by Tony's side so Tony can teach him all the ways not to lose against
Right.
them if that time comes. I, my friend, am not giving a prediction to that. I have left you out on your lonesome. You are a
Oh,
lonesome.
you are so
I refuse. I refuse. I can't. I don't even want to think that far. That was a trick bad question for you because I am
It was.
not. I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. Listen, guys, we are signing off.
Yeah, I see. We got to get ready to go to Dallas. Are you all packed up, Ashley? Are you packed up?
I am not.
Okay. All right.
I am not packed, but I will be packed, guys. We are going to be live from AT&T Stadium Thanksgiving Turkey Day. I'm hoping that Jerry has some phenomenal food because I am leaving the phenomenal food I know is going to be cooked here.
Let me say this.
Go hang out
with Jerry. One thing I love about Jerry World, I'll say this real quick. I know we got to go. First of all, let me give a shout out to everybody in North Texas that's checking in with us. Irving, Arlington, Fort Worth, Mansfield, Waxahachie, all the places down there, they're checking in with us right now. Appreciate the love and support you guys are supporting Fox Sports 1340. A lot of times people ask us all the time, why is the Metro DMV station covering the Cowboys? That's because, hey, we are the Mid-Atlantic's number one source for all things Dallas Cowboys. So thank you, North Texas,
yes,
for making us that.
Yes,
that being said, one thing I do like about Jerry's World, and that's why I'm glad the game is on Thanksgiving. They throw down up in Jerry's.
Really?
So, yeah, they throw
nice.
Down. Last time I was there,
Perfect.
They had some. I don't even, you know, now the bread was a little hard. I ain't going to stunt. But everything, you might want to bring your own Hawaiian rolls. So we might have to stop by Walmart or something like that, get some 99-cent Hawaiian rolls, and then we just, you know, put that in our media bag. But because the bread is hard, I ain't going to lie. But everything else was good. So, I mean, they got the cooked status from the South. They got the greens, beans, tomatoes, later. Okay. Just know.
You name it.
Just know. I put in my request. I was like, yo, can I get a doggy bag? Because I'm definitely taking it back to Marriott after the game. So, shout out to Jerry World because I know they're going to throw that. And they don't charge you. They don't charge. Now, if they try to be funny on Thanksgiving, I'm going to be pissed. But they don't charge you for the media.
Good.
So shout out.
Well, I'm excited. And I can't wait. Again, Cowboys Zone, guys. Make sure you visit our website, Fox Sports, 1340 AM. Just want to give our Fox Sports team a big shout out for giving Josh and I the opportunity to talk to you guys week in and week out. And it's just, it's always so fun, Josh.
So much fun. Also, to the listeners,
we're going to cut up on Thursday.
We are. Don't be surprised Thursday night or Friday if this other, you know, generic show pop up on Fox Sports 1340. Don't be surprised. We're just,
Listen, you got to keep up with us, folks. You have to keep up with us. You never know when we're just going to say, hey, let's just have a show. You just never know. We might get back on the air 3 hours. You just never know.
You just
I
never
may think
know.
Of something and be like, you know what? Damn it, I didn't say this on the show earlier. Josh, we need to get on the show for another 30 minutes. You just never know. So make sure. And also, guys, tweet us any questions you guys may want like us to answer on the show for you. My Twitter is AshleyBaker_21. Josh?
Mine is the Josh A. Vincent. Oh, yeah, Ashley, follow me. Can I get a follow back? No.
I don't follow
back.
You.
Do
I
you?
You?
I don't know. I got to check. I got to check my
Josh.
Sources. But, yeah, shout out Ashley. Yeah, I'm just being funny. But, yeah, the T-H-E Josh A. Vincent, V-I-N-S-O-N-V as in Victor. Follow us. Man, we got you covered, man. Thursday is going to be so much fun.
Ask us questions. Listen, if y'all want to, we're definitely going to have people calling in, so you guys could definitely call and cut up with us, Cowboys Nation, Redskins Nation, Giants Nation, Eagles Nation. Listen, we can take it. We dish it. We can take it.
We take
so
it,
if you wanna,
yeah.
Ask us questions and talk to us, please feel free to do that. But we are signing out, guys. Again, this is Cowboys Zone. Please make sure that you guys just visit our website as much as you can, Fox Sports, 1340 AM. And again, we are signing out. Josh, I'll holler at you.
Yo,
brother.
I see you in the D. I see
All right
you in
now.
The D. All right.
Good night, everybody.